Tune in to the American dream. Throw the fist up one time for the team. 16 banners, let's make it 17. Breeze up, seize up, rep if you bleed green. Two J'd up, they about to make it rain. 15 players going hard in the paint. NBA fans turn centers in the same. Get smart on these boys, true fans, I'll explain. Last shot, don't freeze. Move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on and TVs. Relax, keep back, tune in and stay free. Game on the line, last shot, don't freeze. Move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on and TVs. Relax, keep back, tune in and stay free.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Where my girl Keisha Keish go? She's back. Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Who's that lady? What's going on, Keish? How you doing? How have you been? I think you're on mute. Go figure.
You didn't hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed everybody.
The kisses and the love is here on Sea Breeze. What's going on, everybody out there? I hope you guys are having a wonderful, you know, Celtics off night. They will be playing tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Lakers. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, let's go ahead and get off these formalities, right? And so, listen, you can like us on Facebook on the Shoot the Breeze channel. We got our videos up there. So make sure you like and follow the Shoot the Breeze channel so you never miss an episode of Sea Breeze. Also, we have our own Twitter channel now. So go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Sea Breeze P. All right. And you can also follow us on IG at Sea Breeze Podcast. And for those that want to email us things, go ahead and email us shootthebreezepodtv@gmail.com. You can also listen to this podcast on your anchor.fm, which is your Spotify, your Twitcher, and all that good stuff. And you know I love Apple Podcasts, so go ahead and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And you can also subscribe to us on YouTube, Shoot the Breeze Network. Smash that like button, please. We truly would appreciate it. And feel free to leave comments because we like to get better and better and better. Keish, hey. I missed you. You know, you had me holding it down. You know, you're the Celtics guru, and I got to sit here and be just like entertainment and guru. Man, it was an awkward position, but it's so good to have you back.
It's so good to be back. It really is. And a good time, too.
Yeah, because since you came back, the Celtics started playing better. I don't know if you noticed that. You know what I'm saying? But you've been back, and the Celtics has been on a good old, you know, they have more wins than losses right now. Let's leave it at that.
Hey, let's say it that way. They're doing their thing. They're gelling. It seems like they've turned that button on, and they're moving. They're doing what they got to do, especially doing well on a road trip, handling business, taking down the hot Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
We had a nice little contested game that we knew was going to be tough because Portland will be Portland.
Still
a good game. Still a good game.
Hey, the Celtics, I called it. I said the Celtics are going to go 3-0 on this road trip. And it looks like they're 2-0 right now, right? They defeated Denver, right? Mm-hmm. And then they defeated Portland. And now they're on their way to L.A., which they're probably in L.A. right now. And I want to talk about that Denver win, Keish, because that Denver win was one of those convincing wins, right? One of those ones where you be like, you know, first 2.5 quarters of the game, you know you're on the edge of your seat. And then the Celtics found a way. They said, hey, Jokic, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take you out because you have no Murray, unfortunately. And we're going to figure this out. We're going to go ahead and clamp up the brakes and clamp on the clamps, right? So they shut them down.
Shut them down, and it was completely amazing that, surprise, surprise, Grant Williams was the Joker takedown man. He took the Joker. I mean, he literally got Jokic to quit. Like, Jokic just basically threw in the white towel. 4 minutes or so left in the game, he was done. It's just nothing else he could do. And I was proud of Grant. I mean, I get frustrated with him a lot. But
we do. We all do. You're normal. Yeah.
He has those moments. But that he was able to do that and really not cause too many fouls and just be a presence, a good body to kind of keep the Joker off, was great, and it helped us. So I give him credit for that.
I definitely agree. Listen, I thought, like, Grant Williams to me, okay, first of all, I like Grant Williams. That doesn't mean I like his play all the time. But I will say this, man, that young fella, is out there trying to get better night in and night out. Not only that, he is not looking to be taken off of this team. I think he really loves the Boston Celtics. He doesn't want to go anywhere. And if you see Grant Williams, he's in spots where he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. He's catching and shooting when he's supposed to. He's putting his body out there. He's mm-hmm. trying to take charges. And yes, the young fella, the second-year player, was getting in the head of the MVP candidate, Jokic, right? He was getting in his head. And I've never in my life seen Jokic complain to the refs. He was going at the refs. I was like, where's the tech? Where's the tech? He was talking junk.
I mean, really, literally, like, he was caught, he was so disruptive, he couldn't get back in the game to get the play. And that, again, helped us because we were able to get some easy shots, easy buckets, right? And it just shows that Grant's value could be. He has a way of not necessarily being, like, I'm not expecting him to be a shootout star, but mm-hmm. I do expect him to be a quality role player. And if he could just sometimes in those moments when he seems like he's making like the wrong play, just kind of focus on doing the things that he does best, he would be a good role player. He would be, my husband likes to say, he could be like our Jared Dudley. Don't do too much, but we need that big body, that good bit of energy. We got Grant, right?
Now, it takes a certain mindset to be that though, because if I, like, let put yourself in Grant's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, it's your second year, right? Yep. Let's say your three-point percentage goes up to 40%, mm-hmm. right? And let's say you're looking to play more. Right. And he's clearly not going to do that on the Celtics.
Right.
Would that be, if you're him and in that position, and be honest, mm-hmm. you can go to a team that's looking for a starting, what is he, a power forward, right?
Like a good power forward.
Yeah. Exactly, and small ball, right? And so, you want more playing time. If you're Grant Williams, would you ask to be traded? Because you know, like the way the Celtics are set up, it's point guard, mm-hmm. it's shooting guard, and then it's Brown at the three, Tatum at the four, and whoever they decide to find at the five. Whenever they, you know, where does he fit in? Like if he's getting better, if he's progressing, mm-hmm. do you feel like would you if you're him? You know what I'm saying? Has to be moved. What's good, Roy? What's good, John V?
I would, honestly, if I was Grant, just because of the Celtics history, and not just me being a green teamer, but because of the organization itself and how they have been successful over the last, let's say, 3 out of 4 years that we've been in the Eastern Conference Finals, I would try to push myself to make myself be, if he gets that good, trying to be more of a sixth man. Maybe you can get yourself
right? Okay.
So,
okay.
We need a, for example, Romeo is doing great defensively because that's Celtics staple, defense, right? So if you're a nice defensive presence and you could come out and also be like a spot up shooter, definitely he could try to fight for that six man position. I would, like, I just, because I know there's a certain pride being in this green, right? That's what they teach. We bleed green. It's winning. It's all about winning for the Celtics. You could go to any other organization, sure, and probably be a starter, but are you going to be winning? How far is this team going to go? Like, is it worth you just staying and really growing and developing, right? Becoming a homegrown player and get loved by the fans and get loved by the organization and eventually hopefully get some chips, right? Mm-hmm. That has a better upswing being a Celtic versus him going to, let's say, Atlanta or Charlotte or even, you know, somewhere else across in the West. Because again, you got the opportunity to win, but I mean, you got the opportunity to start, but how much opportunity are you going to get to win? How far can you go?
The Celtics win it all this year. I can see a lot of players on this team wanting to be role players. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think they'll understand, look, we got something going. Let's not break it up. Let's keep it moving. What's good, Avery? It's good to see you, man. I haven't talked to you in a minute, brother. Good to see you, man. Thanks for tuning in. Now, let's go ahead and get to the gist of the show. We talked about the Denver game. Now we're going to talk a little bit about this Portland game. This Portland game had me on the edge of my seat because we were losing the majority of the game, right? And then we took this lead. I'm like, oh, we got these runs.
Right.
Like, I'm like, oh, snap. Then we had a big run. Then we had a big lead. And then come down to 2 minutes. Now, I know. I don't know about you, but I don't really like to blame the refs. But do the refs have to cheat every single game? Like, do they have to give them that one foul that's questionable?
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, man, they're going to go on a run.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what the Celtics did to the refs. I don't know if they hear the fans complaining. I don't know what it is. But the refs are not our friends. So we're always going to get stuck somehow, some way. Because they keep it close.
That is too funny. Oh, I see my girl Peachy's in here. She's a Laker fan, so we gonna talk some trash. I can't wait, you know, because her team is beat up. Our team is getting healthy. Mother sucker. Yeah. So I can't wait to see, you know, what she's got. She know, but you know how you know about the Celtics? She knows about her Lakers. It's too funny. I love it. And so, look, I'm super excited. I was so happy. We have a couple of clips that we want to show just in case those out there didn't see it. And I'm sure that they did. But let's just talk about Jason Tatum and this 3-point shot. That 3-point shot. When you and I talked before the show, that's what we said. You know what I'm saying? Ice in the veins. Like, I don't call, you know, I'm going to start calling Jason Tatum.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the series, the HBO series, Game of Thrones?
Yes, I am.
Do you know anything about the Night Walker?
Yes, I do.
That is going to be Jason Tatum's nickname for me. Because he is ice freaking cold. I'm not talking vanilla ice. I'm talking Night Walker cold. Like, dude, don't talk. Don't smile. Just show up. Hit you with the staff. You freeze, you break, you're done. Fatality. Yes,
That's Jason Tatum.
If you guys didn't get a chance to see it, you know what? Here it is. I mean, what? I mean, first it was the step back.
Step back.
He scares me with the step back because I just feel like that shouldn't be in his repertoire. He's too lanky. Like, he's too lanky for it. You know what I'm saying?
And he does it beautifully. He has such a finesse. You know, there's some shots Jason takes, I'm like, oh, that's not going to go in. I knew that shot was going in just because of his body language, and I would let it go. Like, you could feel, like, the full energy. Like, he's like, I'm about to just do the dagger. It's done. I'm ready to go home. Let's shut it down right now. And he let it fly.
It's ridiculous.
He's amazing.
You know what's funny? I'm going to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Who? All right. Whenever the Celtics shoot 3-point shots, my stomach goes into knots, right? Because I just feel like I know we have guys that can make shots.
Yes.
We just don't have 3-point shooters. Like, when we play other teams,
mm-hmm.
Okay, last night, right?
Right.
Norman Brown was lighting us up.
Norman
Carmelo was lighting us up. Lillard was lighting us up. McCollum was lighting us up.
Right.
It was just like, do they not have a shooter?
No.
And so I was getting nervous. Yeah. I get nervous when the Celtics shoot. I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm going to leave it at. All right. And I'm sure many other Celtic fans do. I don't know if you do, but I know I do. Who are you most comfortable with shooting the three? Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? That's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one. Okay. If we're clutch, getting down to the last few seconds.
Okay. All right.
JT. Because I know he's got that in his repertoire. That's him. He's got clutch in his genes. That's it. Like, he has it, right? Jaylen also has it. But when it's coming down to, like, shot for shot, I would rather Jaylen be that shot for shot against another shooting guard, let's say, right?
I like that.
But when we're down to clutch time and this is the last shot, JT has shown that that's his thing. You can see he gets a high off knowing he's got the ball and I'm taking the last shot and I know I got it. Like, that's just him.
Now, how old is Jason Tatum again?
Jason Tatum is 19. In 2000 and some odd days.
Right. And so this 19-year-old something in 2000 days, right? This kid has 30-point games. He's the youngest Celtic player. Actually, he's tied with Paul Pierce right now.
Yes, he is.
For the youngest Celtic player to have 30-point games.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And does he break Paul Pierce's record. There's a lot of games left in the season.
Yes, he will. He definitely will.
I love Paul. I love me some Paul Pierce, man.
Funny because a lot of people compared JT to Paul Pierce when he first got here, like the way he played a little bit.
It was his persona.
It doesn't surprise me that he's reaching those Paul Pierce levels with a lot of his play, a lot of his games, and his scoring. Like, that doesn't shock me at all. Like, really watching now, because I didn't watch when Paul Pierce played, but
okay.
Everybody talked so much about him. Let me go look at the highlights. Paul Pierce was amazing, like, and he went through, a lot as a player, and he stayed and stuck with the Celtics for years in bad teams, good teams, whatever, until he got that chip, and he just was a good, great player. He gets a lot of credit. They call him the truth, and I agree, but Nightwalker's creeping up, so.
You heard it first, Sea Breeze, Nightwalker, baby. That's Jason Tatum. Now, you mentioned Paul Pierce, and the cool thing about Paul Pierce was he always had the skill set, especially when he was younger. When he was younger, he had the bounce. It was him and Antoine Walker, right? He had this bounce. He could dunk. He was the man, right? When they made the trades, they brought in Kevin Garnett, they brought in Ray Allen, Paul Pierce decided that he was going to be the leader, and his confidence, like the Jason Tatum, the Nightwalker confidence we're seeing as a young fella taking those big shots, it just went up. And so Paul Pierce had the ball at the end of every game. He was the LeBron of the Celtics. He was like, give me the ball, right? And that is what Paul Pierce did. That's what we're watching, this young Nightwalker, Jason Tatum, like, coming to fruition, man. I'm telling you right now, he's writing his own song. Hint of the show, Jason Lyric, right? And so he's kind of doing his thing. Look at what he did on last night. 32 points. Now, he almost had a double-double.
Yep.
Almost.
Almost.
5 assists. Are you mad that Tatum doesn't have higher assists? Is that a problem, or do you think that number needs to go up? The Celtics did have a good amount of assists last night, right? They had over almost 30 assists, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so
I think we were close to 30.
And when the Celtics move the ball, they usually win. I want to point that out.
They have proven that. Gal talks about it all the time, but when they're over 20-something assists, that's when over 20 assists, that's when it's a guaranteed win for them.
Guaranteed.
That they're really moving the ball. Jason is an underrated passer, so the fact that he does have assists, I'm impressed that he gets enough assists that he does. It's the same with his rebounding, because it shows that he's unselfish, which I think is good. So he knows he's like the number one scoring option, but he also doesn't have a problem with also sharing the ball, which I think is one of his better traits. That's one of the parts of his game that I feel like has improved over the last year. Him having the ability to say, yes, sure, I could take the shot, but let me get it to my guy. And then it'll come back to me, so then it gets me that better shot. But it makes, to me, a better player. So if he went up with assists, that's better for the team. But being at 5 is really good, because that shows that he's not afraid to share. And I think that helps.
I agree. And so a lot of people want the assist numbers to go up, and they expect Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to be assist makers.
Yeah.
A lot of people get upset. Jaylen Brown, he sees a one-on. If Jaylen Brown sees a one-on-two, he's going to the basket. Like,
and sometimes I look, I'm like, Jaylen, it's 3 people in the paint. It's like Jaylen looks for it. It's 3 people in the paint. Let me drive. He loves just bullying people. It doesn't work though.
I said it too. I say to myself, he's good. He's that great. All right. Jaylen Brown is great. All right. I'm gonna leave it at that. But no one in the NBA is taking on 3 people. Unless you're like Zion and you're hitting somebody in the face on the way up, and
for that strong.
And so Brown swears up and down he can split the 3. First of all, it's 3. Splitting 2 is hard.
Right.
Splitting 3 has to be almost damn near impossible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I love Jaylen Brown, bro. I do. I just last night he had a drive, and it was like in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, and all I could see was Marcus Smart at the top.
Yeah.
And I know no one wants Marcus Smart to shoot, but he was wide open. Right. I don't I want Marcus Smart to shoot every wide open shot. I don't want Marcus Smart pulling up in transition shooting threes, but I want him shooting every... When he's open, he usually has time to line it up, and it's going in.
Right. Jalen, sometimes, like I said, like, you'll see me when I'm tweeting. I'm like, Jalen, it's okay to pass. You'll get the ball back. I saw somebody had tweeted, like, they wish Jason would share the ball as much as Jalen. I'm like, no, I think you got them backwards. Because JT, I know for sure, is always passing out.
Okay, I will say that Tatum does end up with more assists.
Yes.
But Tatum's ISO is worse than Brown's ISO. And Tatum, I feel like, though I love this kid, man. First of all, I just want to big Tatum up because he's starting to go to the hole. It's about damn time. Like, he's finally going to the hole. And he's getting fouled. Finally.
Right. And he's getting the call.
Only part of his game he wasn't getting. Like, right. I think he's now getting it.
Right. I think at first I'm like, is he afraid to drive? Because he does get, like, mauled a little bit when he's going in, right? So I'm like, is he afraid to do it because he knows I'm going to drive, but I'm not going to get the call kind of thing? And I don't know if he got to the point where he just got mad and was like, forget it. I'm just doing it regardless. And now he's just going. When he sees that opening, he don't care. He's going. And it helps because his shoulders are huge. Can't nobody stop him. He's like a freight train. Just let him go.
he definitely was in the weight room during the bubble, during the offseason. He was in the weight room. He was lifting weights. He was doing shoulder weight. I don't know. He was standing on his shoulders. I don't know. He got bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's finally taking that frame. Instead of doing finesse twist type finishes, he's banging, right? And so I'm enjoying this. Now, my man Matt, shout out to my brother Matt, yo. He's a Laker fan, by the way. He says, look, y'all need a real big man. Tristan Kardashian sucks. Listen, I'm a Tristan fan. Look, All right. I'm going to keep it a book. The moment Tristan got back into the lineup, the energy changed.
Yep.
Now, I'm just going to leave it at that.
He
doesn't have to score 20 points a night anymore.
Nope.
He doesn't have to. But you know what he's getting? Double-digit rebounds.
Yes, he is. He has a way. Tristan has a way that I like. That he fights for every rebound. Like, he doesn't just slap it. Like, you see a lot of the big men, they'll slap it out to try to get out. No. Tristan's grabbing. He's pulling. He's yanking. He's making sure, no, I got the ball kind of play. And that's what we need. So right now with him being on the bench, I like him coming off the bench and having Rob in the start because Rob, I think, is a lot more athletic. He can do other things. And also Rob is another underrated passer. So when Rob has the ball, he's able to get to the top of the key, pull the big man out, and allow the other guys to be able to drive to the basket. So it's not necessarily having that big man stand in the post kind of person to bully up against the Embiids or the Drummonds or the Jokers of the world. You just have to be able to get them tired, but allow your big man to do other things instead of just standing waiting for a bump around and try to box out, right?
I agree.
Tristan does that bully ball we need, especially from bench, because we don't really have that type presence. Like, I love Tice. I love him so much. Like, he did different things as a big man for us, right?
He was definitely a likable guy.
Coming off the bench, he's a veteran player. He knows how to get those fouls. He knows how to get those rebounds. So it makes it easier for our guys off the bench to try to get better buckets. So like when Fournier gets back, right, you got a Tristan coming off the bench. You got a Fournier. Now you got Langford coming off with some D. Pritchett's kind of getting comfortable, going back to driving. That's a pretty decent bench. So I know people are harping, we need a 7-footer. We need this. No, you just need a good player with good skill set that can be able to do the work in the post, but also be able to help get the big men that we don't want in the paint out to get our guys to be able to get to drive to those lanes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Now, I still think we need a big, but there's a specific kind of big I want, mm-hmm. all right? And so when we're talking big, I'm talking about, you know, Karl Anthony Towns big, Joel Embiid big, like guys that stretch the floor, that can pass, that Jokic big. Give me one of those big. Don't give me the typical Andre Drummond, old school, guy that just takes up space, protects the rim big. We got that with Rob Williams. Now, if you give me a big, this is what I miss about Tice. Tice stretched the floor.
Yep.
He spaced out the offense, right? So they were able to do things. And so I miss Tice for that. I don't miss Tice under the rim. I really love Tristan under the rim. I don't care if he's 6'10". He is somehow that ball is either in his hand or back in the Celtics' hand. I don't know how that is. I do miss my man Cantor. I felt like they were the same player, though.
Yes. Because the only thing is Cantor struggles in the pick and roll. I think
he struggles in the pick and roll.
But Cantor also, just look at him yesterday. He was fighting and bumping around and getting in there.
Getting those second chance buckets. Yeah, finishing around the rim.
So I do miss him. That's the kind of big man you need. You know what I mean? But it would be nice to have a cat who could shoot a three, right?
Oh, God, was he shooting against the Celtics?
Shoot a three. That would be nice for a stretch big. But I'm like an old school bully big that likes to be not necessarily under the rim, but can do a lot of good work in the paint. So I'm still old school. Like
nothing wrong with that. I just feel like the way the game is progressing, I feel like your boy Rob Williams. I think he's gonna get back in the weight room in the offseason. He's gonna get bigger. He's gonna get stronger. Yeah. And if he gets bigger and stronger, good luck. Because he's already out jumping you. He's already blocking your shots. Robert Williams is finishing around the rim. I did the last episode on him, so we're not going to big him up too much on this show. But that kid is finishing around the rim. He's got a midi. He's developing he's taking the shot with confidence, man. Look, the Celtics are looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. I just want to put Jason Tatum's last 11 game stats. You know, this kid's averaging almost 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting on. Oh, God.
Nobody should be surprised, though. This is JT. Like, around this time of the year. Remember February, he was the player of the week, right?
Yes. And then he was the king of the bubble. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, this is Jason's, like, song. Like, he knows. It's almost like he can feel playoff time is coming. So that's when you'll see him being more JT. Like, okay, I'm pulling up that clutch gene. I'm doing better shots. Mm-hmm. He's also becoming a little bit more efficient. So he's not shooting everything all the time. So the shots that he's making are better shots. So I actually start to see him doing what he's got to do. Oh, no, you didn't pull this up. I'm still
and
happy.
So, and this is when it all started, okay? Yes. So Jason Tatum was struggling. I don't think he was struggling because he was still averaging like 26.
Yes.
But his body language was just looking a little off. This was during a loss. You remember this mm-hmm. game? And his body language just didn't look like the body language that, hey, I'm going to, you know, take over, guys, and I got this. Now he has. Right. The question is, though, Kendrick Perkins puts on says, Jason Tatum, this is my man KP. I know you don't like him, but I like it. There's two guys you don't like that I actually like. I like Kendrick Perkins and I like Scalabrine. For some reason, I just like those guys. Jason Tatum, you got paid the big bucks. You have the body language and energy level of an underpaid player, and it's hurting the team. Time to step up and live up to your role, straight up, carry on. When you first heard about that, I just need to know your initial reaction because I haven't talked to you in a while. But what was your initial reaction?
So heated. I was so mad. Yeah. I was so mad just because, for two reasons. So first of all, we all know Jason had COVID. So we know he was sick, right? And I felt like a lot of people weren't taking that into consideration with regards to his body language, how he wasn't like necessarily getting back, how his energy level was off. He literally, I don't think, was breathing and doing what he normally did because he was sick, right? So now it's come out that he's having to take an inhaler now because of what's going on with COVID, right? So when I first saw that, I was livid because I'm like, first of all, this dude, even playing at a low energy, is like you said, still averaging 26 a night. So regardless of how the other team members who also know he's sick would see him, I don't necessarily think they were looking at, oh, well, JT's energy levels are necessarily affecting the team because they know he was sick, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was more of the fans expecting JT to always have to carry the team and put it on his back. The kid's still 23. Like, regardless of how generational he is, how out of worldly he is, he's still a young man, right? So he's got to learn, just like Jalen has to learn to understand what being a leader of a basketball team is, right? And really taking the reins and being able to say, hey, guys, let me put this game on my back and carry it. Because technically, he and Jalen have been doing that primarily, wins and losses, for most of the season. They've been carrying us. So I thought that Kendrick was extremely disrespectful, and I let him know, like...
I know you did. I didn't respond to that. And so my letting them knows has some exploitive words in it, and so you know, him and I have been kind of like going back, and so every time Tatum does something, I just write to him hashtag Jason Tatum, because I just want, he did, I think he came out with something positive the other night. Yeah. Like something like, there you go, dog, or whatever. Yeah. He's a really big fan of Jaylen Brown, though. Like, I feel like he's trying to separate them in some kind of way. Like, he's hating on Tatum because he likes skin or something. I don't know what it is, yo. Something ain't right.
I think it's the media in general, though. I think a lot of them have been trying to pitch Jaylen and Jason against each other. You can tell Jaylen and Jason are close, right? And when they work and assist with each other when they're playing, they're unstoppable. That's like the best basketball sometimes I see, when he and Jaylen are playing off of each other. Agreed. And sometimes I think that people want to make this power struggle between them, and I don't think it exists. I think they coexist well together. I think with Smart now being Smart, because now we have Smart being more of the general. Smart's the person that I think is that leader role, that's the veteran that they've been utilizing to kind of get everything back together, because we all know Smart's the heart and soul of the team, right?
Speaking of Smart, hold that thought.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Brad Stevens, that was genius.
Right?
Marcus Smart, thank you for getting it right. Remember the last game? Not the last game, but the last time Marcus Smart attempted a missed free throw. He hit the backboard. Right. And then he was like, in the press conference, he was like, yeah, I effed that up. Yeah. I think he's been in the gym practicing how to miss a free throw properly. And I just thought that was genius, because he made a mistake. Well, he didn't make a mistake. He didn't get the first one.
Right.
And so the second one made sense, because there wasn't enough time on the clock for them to go all the way down the field. And did you see the trap in the corner?
Yes, the trap in the corner, and how Kemba and Jason were able to do that without fouling, because they were kind of close up on his body. And I was so nervous. I thought the ref was going to call a foul.
You know how it be. You know how it go down.
Yeah, well, you already know how it goes. So I was expecting them to call that foul, but that they were able to do it. Dame had no choice but to heave it. It was like he wasn't going to be able to get to anybody to get a decent shot. So Brad, I think he's developing a little bit too. Whether he hears the slander about how people think he's a bad coach or whatever, I think he's starting to realize, like, hey, like, I can still make good decisions. I am that genius, that offensive genius that can make adjustments on the fly. And I was laughing because they were showing the video. Someone else had the video of Brad, like, screaming, "Miss the next shot!
That's the one I needed. That's the one I need.
He
I needed.
Miss the next shot. And it took me so good. I'm like, why would he tell him to do that? Once you saw that trap, it was like, oh, that makes complete sense. So, Brad, kudos to you, because that was a great move.
It was the perfect defense. It's like, if you don't get the rebound, trap this guy. And how dope was it that Lillard was the one that had got the rebound? So that's who you want to trap, because you don't want him shooting that shot. you know what I mean?
Like,
oh, man.
When we've seen him hit from, like, our free throw line up to his shot and probably
Yeah, we was there. There was no Dame time last night, even though he cooked in the last 2 minutes.
He did.
He cooked, and I was like, not now, Jesus. Like, yes. What did I do? You know, like, what did I do wrong?
All night, all of a sudden, we let him loose the last 2 minutes. We messed it up.
Like, what the heck? Yeah. I was saying to myself, all right, Keish, listen up. The Lakers, Celtics, the game is coming up. We got like 4 Laker fans watching the show right now that are in the live chat. I know that they believe their team is going to win. Yeah. They look pretty banged up. Yeah. Hey, Peachy, let me know who you're projecting your starting lineup to be. Is LeBron going to show up for this game? He always plays the daggone Celtics and goes ham. So he'll he'll take another 6 games off. That's just how LeBron does. He owns the Celtics. I'm not afraid to say it. My man, Matt, really quick. First word that comes to your mind to describe this player that my man Matt brought up from Purdue, shooting guard, point guard, Carson Edwards. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Don't be afraid. No words. All right. And so, you know what, Matt? He was nice. I feel like when guys come to the NBA, I don't know if it's because they can't get enough shots. Mm-hmm. But the three is the same. Like, it's the same. It's the same three. It's the same ball. It's just different bodies, different spacing, bigger, quicker, faster guys. And he's just not getting time enough to develop that, you know, the confidence to just shoot. Right? Because that's what he is. He's a shooter. Right. For some reason, it's just not translating to the NBA. It's not translating with the Celtics, but they're keeping him around. They're keeping him around. So Peachy says there's no Bron and no AD. And so who do we need to fear on this Lakers team, Keish? Because it's always that one player, two players. They don't play a lot, but when they play, they light the Celtics up. It doesn't matter. They're not an all-star. They're not a starting star. They just come in and light the Celtics up. Like, who do you think we need to, like, focus our game plan on when it comes to the Lakers?
I want to say it's two players in my head right now. Kyle Kuzma, because he seems to always like to come out and show up.
This is his time to shine against the Celtics, always.
Always, right? And Dennis Schroeder. So, Dennis is one of those kind of annoying Pat Beverly type players, but who can shoot better than Pat Bev. So,
okay.
So, I'm sorry. Like, because I know Drummond's not playing that well. I never fear Drummond anyway. I feel he's soft. That's why I never wanted him on the Celtics. I just don't think.
Yeah, like, mentally, he just checks out if things aren't going his way, right?
Yeah.
I kind of get that with him, too.
But, I mean, he's not the best shooter, especially being that big and a rim protector. Like, dude, he has his moments where he can get you double-doubles, but it's not consistent enough. So, I don't really fear him. Trez, I think, is a little bit. Alex Caruso comes out of the cut sometimes.
I like that kid.
Alex Caruso is like, he is like a legend of the Lakers. I don't know where this dude came from, but he's like one of those players that'll pop out of nowhere and he'll have a career night on it. So, those are the three. I would say Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, and then Dennis Schroeder.
And they got Markieff Morris too, and I believe he'll be back. I think he's back. He should be playing.
Yeah.
And so he's another guy. He's just the Morris brother. Like they have good role players. They're not gonna try to lose this game. Like they're gonna go out and try to beat the Celtics. Game plan has to be what it needs to be every game. If the Celtics consistently move the ball and believe and trust in their guys taking shots, I really see the Celtics. It's gonna be hard to beat them. Like, it's really hard to beat them.
We have to play defense. Like, I mean, it's not like they have, like, spot-up shooters. Like, again, they have a couple of – they're playing unhealthy. She said it should be Schroeder, KCP.
Kuzma, Drummond, and Morris. Yep.
Oh, that's the starting five. Okay.
And there you go. You got your point guard. And so your point guard, your shooting guard, Kuzma at the three. That's Kuzma versus Brown should be a pretty good matchup. Morris and Tatum.
Yeah.
I like that. Right, so Tatum's gonna try to get past Morris all night long, and then the young fella against the guy that the Celtics did go after, PG. I'm not gonna stunt and say we didn't go after Drummond, but y'all want him. Y'all paid him more money, and that's what it is. Good, and it is what it is. So yes,
it's gonna be. I want to see how Rob does. If Rob's gonna start, I hope he does. If Rob starts, I want to see how he bangs up against Drummond.
Here's what I like. And she says it should be about 2,000 fans. It's going to be hype. It's going to be on TNT. Can't wait to see it. Here's what I like, though. I like if our guy, Robert Williams, somehow stays out of foul trouble. When we play Philly, he had three fouls in, like, the first 2 minutes.
Well, because that's Joel Embiid's game.
Sound like him, too.
You knew that was going to come. Right. I don't know what the refs are going to give Drummond those kind of calls. Like,
exactly. And so it should. I agree. So it should be a bang bang game for the big guys down there. I will say that Drummond is probably stronger, but you don't got to worry about him shooting no threes.
Nope.
You don't got to worry about him. You know, you get what I'm saying? So I think if Robert Williams could play those passing lanes, if Drummond has that ball, you intercept those balls out of those passing lanes. I could see it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a good game. It's Lakers-Celtics. I don't care who plays. I always.
Each other hard, regardless. Right. That's why we go back-to-back with wins. Like, you know, Lakers will win one, we'll win one. Lakers will win. It's like that constant back-to-back because every time they meet, it's just like an automatic, viral, like, we can't stand the Lakers and they can't stand the Celtics. We hated you. It's like a straight football. You love it.
Yo, and it's funny because some of my favorite players play for the Lakers. Okay. It's hard to like, you know, Magic Johnson and, yeah, and Shaq. And those are the players that I like. Magic Johnson, Shaq, and Kobe. Like, yeah, those are my favorite three Laker players of all time. I didn't grow up in the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar era, so yeah, I apologize. I don't get to talk about him. He's probably the greatest Laker of all time, but I didn't grow up, you know, with him. But those guys I like. I can't front. I was happy that they went to different teams. John is talking about, I know, so John is like my long-lost brother. I already know he's talking about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum does like to turn the ball over, yeah, and that's my only gripe with him. Yeah. I don't know if it's his gather. Sometimes I feel like he dribbles too high. Yeah. And if he just moves the ball, he doesn't have to worry about turning it over, right? Like,
it's in those ISO situations when he's trying to, yeah, like, get someone a double team. It's like, no, look, just pass it. Like,
they're going to give it back to you, Tatum.
Right. And I, yeah, think he's trying to get better at recognizing those moments, thank God, because he was doing it a lot more at the beginning of the season. Now he's a little bit better, but his ball handles a lot better than it was last year. It's still, he struggles, definitely. But I think he just needs to be more mindful. Like, you don't have to ISO every ball, Jason. Like, there's sometimes we want to see that finesse ISO and you do that smooth JT thing when you're cooking. But if you're not cooking, pass it. Get it back and it'll come to you. Like, don't do too much.
No, I agree 100%.
They play fast. They're fast paced. So they will get the ball back and go right for a transition bucket. So
I agree with you. Hey, baby girl, final thoughts, man. Let's get up out of here. We'll be back next week for sure. Any final thoughts?
Just who's going to win? Playing well. You know, yeah, I'm hoping for that W. Not hoping. I'm asking for that W so we can come out with a 3-0. That would be an awesome, awesome thing. It'll kind of solidify us in seeding. We're already starting to move our way up. We just got to keep winning. Keep putting that same pressure. Stay on them. Keep doing that defensive pressure. Keep moving the ball. Get us that W.
I agree. And hopefully, I think right now we're at the fifth seed. And so if we get a little help from those Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, you know, just a little bit of help, you know, just a little bit. Beat Charlotte tonight. You know what I'm saying? The Celtics could find themselves climbing up in the standings. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for tuning in to Sea Breeze. Make sure you guys follow us on all of our platforms. We'll see you next Wednesday. We got this mug.
Tune in to the American dream. Throw the fist up one time for the team. 16 banners, let's make it 17. Breeze up, seize up, rep if you bleed green. Two J'd up, they about to make it rain. 15 players going hard in the paint. NBA fans turn centers in the same. Get smart on these boys, true fans, I'll explain. Game on the line, last shot, don't freeze. Move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on and TVs. Relax, get back, tune in, it's Sea Breeze. Game on the line, last shot, don't freeze. Move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on and TVs. Relax, get back, tune in, it's Sea Breeze.